Hey guys, thank you for listening to The Naturalist Capitalist. For this episode, I had all three hosts of the Lions of Liberty podcast on the show, and I was doing it from my truck in an area where I did not have very good cell phone service. So my audio is a little bit choppy, and there's also about a 3 second lag in between when I would speak and when I'd be able to hear them. So that's a little bit annoying throughout this episode, but it's great. I hope you enjoy it. Without further ado, here is episode 121.
All right. Can you guys hear me?
That would be amazing.
Are we in the pre-show? Are we back in the pre-show again? I'm having flashbacks.
No, the best is, 8 to 9 minutes of my life. Now. You're on the Naturalist Capitalist Live. Yeah. Well, guys, I've got all three hosts of the Lions of Liberty show on today. We got Brian McWilliams. How you doing, Brian? Oh, my gosh. While you were drinking, that was rude, but...
No, it's fine. I'm used to speaking with my mouth full, usually full of ill-informed opinions and bullshit. But for you, I've decided to become a little bit more informed. I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's great Hello? To have you. And then we got Mark Claire. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm doing awesome, Reed, dude. Thanks for having me on. This is kick-ass. And I will say, of every live show I've been on, this one has the coolest intro.
It's true.
And it has people.
Oh, wow.
It.
Well, that's really saying something, because there are, I believe,
because like, I've been on two live shows,
roughly 803 million. Yeah, they're I forget how many libertarian podcasts are out there right now, but I think it's around 803,246,537, something like that. So that really means quite a bit.
He started it all. It started right John... here. Well, not right here, but
then we got John Odermatt. How you doing, man?
Awesome, man. Great to be here. Yeah. I mean, as Mark was saying, intro is fantastic. We've actually talked about having our own Liberty Podcast Awards, and you're in the early front running for best intro. So
for this imaginary award show that will likely never happen, but yes. We should actually
just
do
like
it.
That's just like the libertarian dream ever being achieved. Likely never happened, but it's nice to talk about. We can discuss it at length.
We'll definitely have the Lions of Liberty Podcast Awards before and Campistan is reached.
I think so, Joe.
Possibly.
Within your lifetime. Yeah. So that's our promise.
I think we're dealing with a bit of a lag here, but we'll try to keep going anyways. But I wanted to talk to you guys about obviously the Lions of Liberty show, how it started and how it took off, because a lot of us new guys, it's not really fair. You know, you guys had to do it when the technology wasn't fully fledged and not everyone could start a podcast in their own basement and have HD streaming right away. So how did you guys, how did you all get together and do this? Did one of you start it first and then the others joined on later? How did the show come to be?
I've told this too many times. One of you guys want to take it?
I'll take it. Yeah. So Mark started the podcast first, but I guess turn back the clock a little bit. We all went to college together. I went to Penn State together. And we're in the same fraternity, and Mark and Brian hazed me, and it was terrible, ruined my life. And here I am today. But
I was nice, probably. Actually,
see, you made it through. You're the man you are today because of us. You know, these podcasters today are the podcasters they are because of us. You're the man you are today because of us. It all goes back to the roots, John. It's all pain to start.
I wasn't finished, so they ruined my life and then introduced me to Ron Paul, so that really saved my life. That was in, 2007, I think. As the story goes, we've told many times.
Well, did they introduce you to Ron Paul, or did I introduce you to Ron Paul?
Oh, yeah, I was going to give you the credit there.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure
the
credit goes.
It was the they, as in the, I don't know, as people say they, meaning one person. But, Mark and I were at a CD bar in some California dumpy little town, and Mark was... I assumed Mark was a hippie and a liberal. Look at him. You'll assume the same. And he started talking about this Republican congressman from Texas. I'm like, what is this hippie talking about? And I was a neocon at the time. And the rest is history. We found Ron Paul. It sounds like we're talking about a religious character. But
Well, he was. Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, though, you know, that's the beauty. Sorry to jump in here real quick, but that's the beauty of Ron Paul. And honestly, it's what we need, right? Because I look at a lot of the problems with convincing people to become libertarian and that it's inaccessible. It's not exciting as an ideology unless you really get into the nitty gritty of it, right? But Ron Paul was able to distill a very powerful message, you know, primarily anti-war, but then, of course, bringing it and the Fed. he was able to distill a very powerful message and actually get people excited about liberty, which is something I've only seen one person do in my life, and it is Ron Paul. But yeah, so, you know, Mark brought us in. Mark and I got involved and actually went door to door for Ron Paul. We were, you know, going knocking on doors in liberal ass Los Angeles.
Knocking on heaven's door.
Knocking on heaven's door and being rejected outright by most people who either said they liked him a lot but would never vote for him because he wouldn't win, or just were angry that we had woken them up from their midday nap because everybody in LA doesn't really work.
I don't think we found one person that said they would gladly vote for Ron Paul or anything.
Oh, I did.
The problem is, well, I guess you're special because the thing is, this was for like a Republican primary. So for anyone to vote in Ron Paul in California, they had to register as Republicans.
Right.
And no person out here, at least where we are in this area of Los Angeles, other parts of California, perhaps, like no one would even be caught dead, like even pretending they're a Republican, let alone changing their registration to vote for some old Texas Republican. So it was a fruitless effort. Apparently, Brian has a story, a success story that I
No. I was actually conflating people who would say that they liked him or like I would vote.
Oh yeah,
for
liked him.
But
I got, yeah.
There's a lot of I would vote for him, but no, it's true. Your odds of going around and telling people loudly that you were a Ron Paul voting Republican in general circles was probably about the number of people that go out and proudly declare themselves pedophiles. You know, it just wasn't something that you do.
Good analogy, Brian. Fantastic.
Yeah, you know, I like to tie us into the movement. Well, hey, the pedophiles are trying to march in the gay pride parade. We still aren't marching in it. Come on. They're making more progress than we are, apparently. But.
So what was it like? When did you guys get your off the ground? How soon after the Ron Paul thing was it, or was it during the first Ron Paul run?
No, it was during Ron Paul round two, I guess you could say, or really round three if you count the Libertarian Party run. But now we kind of all got involved in the Ron Paul movement, the original movement, through that campaign around the same time, and it was after that. During that, we developed this, we called it the Liberty Chain. It was just like an email chain of people that we all knew, mostly from college. And like every week, another a person or two would be added to it. So by the end of it, there was maybe like 25 or 20 people on this chain where we talked about, you know, everything going on with Ron Paul. We talked about the campaign. But then once the campaign ended, then we started getting into other areas of this like libertarian philosophy and libertarian ideology, and we would get into these like really long email exchanges, like breaking down the ideas of anarcho-capitalism. And this is not like a group of libertarians. Like some people were libertarians, some people were kind of like JB, who's a part of our podcast now. He was more of like a progressive slash socialist, but through these conversations he eventually came to identify as a libertarian too. But these were conversations with just like 20 people. So I think at some point we were talking, I don't know who said it first, but we were saying like, if we're doing all these conversations anyway, we're already typing this stuff out, why don't we just like put it up on the internet, like put like start a blog or something, like, and maybe some other people will see what we're talking about and get interested in it. And so that's what we did at first. And then the blog turned into a website. And then we were really big on like writing articles, talking about current events, just doing anything we could do to interest people in things. So we were doing that. I think that started around 2011, 2012 during the second Ron Paul campaign. But then it was, I think after that campaign, when there was like more of a void to fill. And I think that a lot of people felt that way. There was like, it was over and everyone's kind of like, now what? And so we already had this website going called Lions Liberty. I had an idea that I was actually like listening to a lot of podcasts at the time. I still do, but now there's too many for me to get to. But at the time, actually, I had to like search for podcasts, and I was searching for libertarian podcasts, and I just wasn't really finding any. Like there were none that were consistent. Like Lou Rockwell did interviews, but they were kind of like once in a while. This guy Robert Wenzel, RIP, he just passed away this week. Really, really great guy. And he did interviews like once every whenever, but there was no consistent podcast where I could just open up my podcatcher and just go find an interview with a libertarian every week. Like that's what I wanted, and it didn't exist. So I decided to start that podcast. And then it kind of grew from there.
I was just going to say, it just so happens at the same time, Mark decided to start the Lions of Liberty podcast, another libertarian who probably no one's heard of, very failed podcaster. Tom Woods started
wearing sunglasses on podcasts. Yeah.
Like the same week he started his podcast.
What is Tom Woods doing? Why is he wearing sunglasses on podcasts? Is this a thing?
Clearly, you didn't listen to Reach interview with him.
I haven't yet. I have.
It was
not
great. It was actually
it
one of Tom's finest moments.
He's only done one podcast in sunglasses. You'll have to watch the podcast to find out why. So,
Reed's going to make you work for this one. So am I.
Okay. All right, fine. Make me work for it. But yeah, so Mark, you know, Mark started doing the podcast and fairly regularly getting better as he went along and learned the ropes. But as you said, it's tough going early on. Our mics weren't good. The technology wasn't as good. We were on a different platform. But Mark started having on regular guests. Like we do our Libertarians in Living Rooms Drinking Liquor, which is like this, where you just have a bunch
of
people.
We haven't done in a long time.
We're all drunks. Yeah, I know. It's been too long. But you know, he's having us on for regular bits, right? So he'd have John on, and he did Felony Fridays, which was a column that John wrote on the website about the felonies that were going on. So he'd have John on regularly now to start doing Felony Friday updates, and he'd have me on to do my Rand pluses and minuses, where we break down Rand Paul, who, of course, had now been taking the forefront with Ron pulling back, breaking down what he was doing, if he was doing good or bad for the movement. And obviously, Rand, I think, has actually gotten, if anything, a little more libertarian as he's gotten farther in his career, oddly enough. But early on, you know, there was a lot of conflation between pure GOP and libertarian and being wrongly branded in some ways as libertarian and making libertarians look bad. So, Odie, when did you start doing your podcast? Because now we're 3 days a week. And Mark was doing the once a week show up until when? What year?
As long as
you're prepared and have it at the, you know, these facts about our own podcast right on the tip of your tongue.
I'm coming up on 300 episodes this year. So if my math is right, an episode per week, that's almost 6 years, right? I think, which is crazy.
Yeah.
There was a time when I moved to 2 days a week, and then I realized like I couldn't keep up with that. And that's when I brought you guys in and was like brought you in and, you know, made a proposition, an indecent proposal. And we became official business partners at that point. And then slowly worked into getting you guys both to have your own podcast.
Which I'm impressed. Reed's turning them out here. You know, Pete Quinones churns them out. Yes. Churning out these episodes. I'm very impressed with your.
Pizza machine. Pete blows my mind. Like the output.
I thank the autism for that. I think that's a benefit. It's a blessing and curse.
Yeah. Well, my
he's like, I gotta get an episode out.
Yeah, my technology on the road is about equal to what you guys were starting out with. Probably, you know, it puts it almost
true.
At the same level.
It's probably
or at
much
least
better.
The quality, maybe not.
It's probably a
it's
lot
probably
better,
but the quality comes out about the same. So.
Yeah, what was funny is like when I come on to do the interviews with Mark, we'd be sitting in the same room with a shitty old Yeti microphone that you could have two sides speaking at the same point. So we're leaning in, you know, like the old school radio shows or like when they record like the you know, the Ronettes where you're leaning in, singing to the microphone, looking at each other's eyes from about 6 inches. It was intimate. We could smell what each other had for dinner. Always yeah. oysters. Always
so
smoked oysters.
Smoked oysters.
Was there a moment when it seemed like the show finally took off, or was it a very slow, long?
When Reed Coverdell reached out to the three of us to come on his show,
we made it. Nope.
Oh yeah, that was the day. Yeah.
No, honestly, I think for me anyway, I think this was for me even before Brian and Odie had started their spinoff shows or whatever you want to call it before we expanded things. It was when I had Tom Woods on. And I thought it was crazy enough that Tom Woods would even agree to do my show. But the part that really made me feel like I had made it at that point is that Tom said afterwards, and he like posted this online and like told everyone, and actually said these words on his show. He said, you know, there's a lot of libertarian podcasts out there. There's a lot of podcasters who just, you know, ask the same like 7 questions over and over. But Mark actually like really kept it interesting. And I don't know the exact quote, but he basically like really highly complimented me. And to hear that coming from someone like Tom Woods, who I couldn't even believe would even like take the time to do my show, I was like, all right, maybe I can do this. If Tom actually thinks that, I didn't pay him for that or anything, there must be something to it. So that was kind of the moment for me where I really like started to get some confidence about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a fucking grind, though. I'll go ready.
Oh, it's definitely a grind. But like one of the things that convinced Brian and I to stop writing and, you know, stop creating blogs and articles and things and start podcasting was we looked at the numbers Mark was getting with podcasts, and we're like, oh, we can have, you know, several thousand over here or 200 people reading an article. It's like, oh,
on
it's
a good
better
day.
Investment right. of time here.
Well, and also, you know, the main driver of traffic for our website was called The Daily Paul, and it was a really popular hub for libertarian content, obviously inspired by Ron Paul. And we had gotten a lot of notoriety from that site. Like Dave Smith always talks about, he had first came across the lines of liberty from a writing on Daily Paul. But The Daily Paul killed itself off. It committed harikari. I mean, literally, the guy was like, yeah. I'm not doing it anymore. Fuck it. And we were all like,
I'm killing
but,
this thing. We're like, no, we're doing it for us.
Yeah, exactly. Guy, I'll
we
take
buy
over
it
the
off
hosting,
you for a
dude.
Dollar? A dollar,
yeah, seriously.
Please.
Why is he just fucking killing the site? Very popular site. But yeah, to Odie's point, it became more popular. You know, we got in some traction, and then Odie came on with Felony Fridays, and I came in late with Electric Liberty Land, which, because it seemed like we had it covered with interviews, we had our focus on criminal justice reform, but then we needed something that was more current events, that was, and again, trying to come in later, right? Because libertarianism is too heavy for most people. It's a lot. It's hard. It's inaccessible philosophically. It's dry. You know, we have a reputation for being uninteresting, kind of boring nerds. And, you know, I wanted to round out the other two boring nerds with something fun and interesting. Thus, Electric Liberty Lamb came to be. But that's now, I'm on episode 230. Or actually, so Reed and Clint were episode 230. So it's pretty far in.
Ooh. Yeah, if we got censored, that would be interesting.
The one where Brian stole half my lineup of the next month.
Yeah.
Yeah, section 230.
Was there a year that every libertarian started to do his own podcast? Because I've been a libertarian since probably 2015 or 16, small L, and I didn't join the party till last year. And last year is when I started to find all you wonderful people. So was there a moment in the past when everybody who was a libertarian just started doing their podcast? Or was that last year when everyone was locked down?
I think it was last year.
When did that phenomenon
well,
take off?
Well, I will say, last year for sure, because people had the time and the availability. And like I said, the tech was accessible and easy to find. But I have to say, shame on us, because I remember Mark and Odie, we were like, really encouraging people to go out and start podcasts and make their voice in the world.
Idiots.
And now it's like, what the fuck are we doing?
We thought
we had such a nice big lead.
We didn't think they'd listen.
Giving advice. Yeah.
We're like, if we can do this, any of you guys can. They're all like, oh, actually, that's true. We can. We'll do that.
Exactly. But I mean, the thing that surprises me, it's a great thing, that these new libertarian podcasts like yourself, Reed, and also like Liberty Lockdown, and there's others, I'm leaving a bunch off, but they're really good. I mean, there's been a lot in the past, I think back a couple of years, I mean, not throwing shade at anyone, but there's been a lot of like repetitive sort of podcasts that really everyone's doing the exact same thing. And I think there's been some new energy brought into the movement for sure with you guys starting these new things.
Well, and also I would hope
there's also been a
lot
of impetus for talking about liberty because of all the tyranny that we've had. So it's made it easy to talk about something.
I think there was a big spike too. I noticed like after 2016, like 2017 or so, then a lot of like newer libertarian podcasts started springing up. Like it was when the joke started to become like everyone has a libertarian podcast. I feel like that started sometime after 2016, because I feel like the Trump movement brought a lot of people into politics, like not necessarily Trump people, but just people that are suddenly paying attention to politics more. And then a decent number of those people ended up just finding other avenues like Lions Liberty or other libertarian podcasts. And I think a lot of those people like kind of put their energy into starting a podcast. Because I think even a couple of years ago, even before this recent like surge in the last year, I remember like one day thinking like, oh my God, there's like hundreds of libertarian podcasts now. Like, when did this happen? Like, I couldn't find any. That's why we started Lions Liberty. Yeah. If it was today, I never would have started Lions of Liberty, because I would already have enough podcasts to listen to. But now it's too late. Now we're locked in. So now I got a podcast for the rest of my life.
We're never quitting, by the way.
No, we're never quitting. I think there's a change in also. It's also like, look at the way people consume media. You know, far more people now listen to podcasts. Radio's fallen to the wayside. You know, mainstream news has fallen to the wayside. This is how people get their information. You know, even trusting online news sources, social media has fallen off. So when you look at the way people are educating themselves, it does make more sense that more podcasts are coming out. And for those that are doing a good job with it, you're going to see people flock to them. So like I said, it's pretty easy to figure out what's the wheat and what's the chaff when you start listening to a podcast, especially that something that's like an hour long. Because if you're halfway in and you're going, this person just sounds like an asshole or an idiot, that's my podcast, but you've already become in love with me as a person.
Someone isolate that quote from Brian. That's my podcast. No.
but you know what I mean? It's like, it's very obvious as opposed to other forms of media, right? As opposed to a website where it might be an article at a time you're seeing pulling from here and there, as opposed to mainstream media where you might flip on the news and you see a story here and a story there coming from different people, written in different ways on different topics. When you listen to a hardcore podcast with one person or an interview, you're very quickly exposed as whether or not you know what you're talking about. So I think that really applies to what's going on and appeals to people that are trying to learn more, and especially after we've seen what's been happening over the past couple of years, that you know, it's hard for even the layperson to ignore how fucked up things have gotten. I mean,
yeah,
Reed, what, like, what made you want to do a podcast?
Passion.
Yeah. I said, Reed, what made you want to, what inspired you to like get into it?
Brian's taking over the interview now.
Yeah.
Well, I'm waiting for, every time I talk, I'm waiting. I mean, Reed's so delayed. It's like.
All right. I'm talking now. The reason I wanted to start a podcast, I wanted to do a more philosophical podcast, talk about living within your means and traveling and getting the most out of life. But then, you know, 2020 happens. So the subject material just got switched up on me. And instead I was ranting about corporate bailouts and monetary policy and stuff like that. And then I don't know if you guys have seen my gun video, the bump firing the M1 Garand. That made me famous.
Yeah, I saw that.
It went all over the internet. It was, yeah. And I went from like 70 subscribers to over 2,000 subscribers in about 36 hours. And so after that was pretty early on. And so I was like, well, I guess I've got an audience now. So I kept that 2,000 audience pretty much all the way through January. And then I started having some big names on. I had Ryan Dawson, Spike Cohen, Larry Sharp, Dave Smith, Phil Labonte, and then they started taking off again. And what I've noticed is you can say the exact same thing, but like you can have a rant about Zionism and maybe some people will listen to it, but then you have Ryan Dawson on and you have him say the exact same thing, then it's Ryan Dawson saying it. Mm-hmm. 700 mm-hmm. people will watch it when you're nobody, or you know, you're talking about the wars and how we need to end them and no one cares. So you have Scott Horton on and then he says it and then everyone's like, oh, okay, I want to hear this. So it does have a lot to do like with who's saying it. It's not all about exactly what you're saying sometimes.
100%.
Yeah. We all took a big deep breath there as if we were going to talk and then none of us said anything.
Literally, I was like, do I have something to say here? Maybe I don't. I don't know.
I always have something to say, but it's one of those things where it's like, I don't want to talk too much because there's so many of us on the call, but it's just funny when you have people that all are used to hosting shows because you're always like, all right, well, we don't want to have dead air. So it was like, and then nobody fucking talks.
I was laughing at one of the YouTube stream comments from Mark Metz on the stream here. He said that Brian's episode count should be -1 of where it is now because he had nothing to do with the Thad/Hotep interview.
Oh, that was fucking epic, though, man.
It was the best, but you had nothing to do with it. I guess you were there hitting record.
I did have a lot to do with it.
No, I know. I'm joking.
I coordinated it, and I also had.
He was there. What do they say that 98% of life is just showing up? You showed up with the microphone,
right, man? All you had to do. I would have liked to have done far more with that interview, but it was fascinating. Fly on the wall.
No, you did just enough.
Yeah, you did too much of anything.
I had the greatest line in there where I told Hotep that he was the Jordan Peterson for black people. So that was my contribution.
That was good and accurate.
So what's your?
It is totally accurate.
You guys do those. You guys do those Twitter spat debates. What's the worst one? Was Andy Craig versus Dave Smith? Was that the
believe it or not
one, or was there one worse than that? Because that
I'm not sure which was the worst. Are we talking about worst? It's funny because the quote unquote worst they are, the more downloads they get. So
that's a fact.
Like
right. We're talking about like maximum download, like maximum anger and hatred. But that's the worst.
Yeah, like people, and it's funny because people will say like, oh, you should stop doing, and we actually are not going to do those kind of debates anymore where it's just Dave debating basically a random troll who has no substantive arguments. We're going to do more debates in the future, but they're going to be substantive, like the one we did with Tho or the one we did with Breaky. But yeah, it's funny though. They're still, those episodes do well, like the Tho debate, Eric Breaky debates, those all did very, very well, you know, higher than our average show for sure. But they didn't do as well as the debates with Andy Craig or Archie Flower.
It had 14,000, 15,000 downloads or something like that.
Plus the YouTube, which is another.
Plus
like
the YouTube. They probably averaged 30. We're probably at 30,000 views for those crazy debates, which
especially the Archie debate. And nothing against Archie, but he didn't even debate. He didn't even bring any points to the table. It was just, he was trying to pull up memes on his phone. But anyway,
hard to fault him.
So Dave, Dave feels like he shouldn't have done that debate. Did you guys feel the same way? Like, were you like, oh man, we shouldn't have done this after it was over?
No, or I'm fine with it.
Is it worth the Dave, the view, so it doesn't matter?
Yeah, like I've talked to Dave about this, and he feels bad about that debate because he actually feels like he like broke something in Archie, who has seemingly been just completely obsessed with Dave since that moment. And there's hardly a day that goes by he's not tweeting something at him or saying something about his case against Dave. And I don't know what happened. I honestly don't know. He's a patron of ours. Like, I have nothing against RG. He's supported us financially. So, you know, I have nothing. I'm sure he must say, he clearly has some sense because he's supported us. So, you know, he must have some
learn something from Archie Flowers. That's our pitch basically, is you too can learn from Archie Flowers. Support the Lions of Liberty podcast.
And maybe someday we'll have you debate Dave Smith. you know, Dave just feels that he broke something inside him. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true or not, but I think we just want to do things with more substance. Yeah. And even if maybe we get a higher download off a substantive troll fest, it's at the end of the day, we did it. We had some troll fests, but I don't need to have the same people or the same kind of people saying the same stuff to Dave over and over and over. That at some point that's not interesting anymore. So we did it twice, but now we're going to try to stick to substance from now on.
Well, we're selling tickets.
So have you done a lot of those types of interviews?
Troll Fest 2022. It's going to be competing with Pork Fest in Childerberg.
I've hosted several debates like over the years. Like I really got into the debate thing around 2016 when I hosted a few debates for the chairmanship of the party, for presidential debates of the Libertarian Party, and that kind of came about by accident because I wasn't really actively a part of the Libertarian Party at all. But people in the party started coming to me and started saying like, hey, do you want to have me on show because I'm running for this office? And I'd be like, well, I don't have a guest this week, so sure, guy. And then I started interviewing people and getting more involved in the party that way. And then when it came closer to certain elections, then it just seemed like it made sense to take all these people I interviewed and have them debate each other. So that's how I first started doing debates like 4 or 5 years ago. Did it again in 2020. We hosted a bunch of presidential debates leading up to the Libertarian Party convention. And then, yeah, but this recent round of debates really just started with Dave reaching out to me and saying this. It was about Annie Craig, the first one. I think actually both of them reached out to me because Annie Craig had contacted me too, because Chris Spangle had reached out to him and said, like, this would be a good forum for you. Like, Mark's pretty neutral and it will be fair. So Andy reached out to me and said, I'd like to do it. The thing with Dave, I'd like to do it on your show. Dave said, yeah, I'd like to do it. So that's pretty much how it came about. And then Dave, I think the Archie one too, he's like, hey, I got another one for you. This Archie guy has some shit to say about me, so let's do one with him. So that then it came to that. But yeah, since then, I think it was actually Eric Brakey that came to me about that. I don't remember how the Brakey debate came about, actually.
Texted Brian, I think.
Texted Brian on his secret. On his
secretly
secret,
texted on my. Yeah, I have one phone that I gave Eric Brakey the number to, as noted. I don't know if what we're talking about is I had Dave Rubin, I had Eric Brakey, and Dave Smith all on to discuss the future and the path for the GOP. And I was accused, Eric and I were accused of texting each other in secret during that conversation. Not even in a fucking debate, during the conversation they were having. It's conspiracy-minded libertarians.
Which you were, but just not about the debate. Just not about that.
So, no, I mean, you can't see from the waist down. It was dick pics back and forth.
How did he get on?
I'm not friends with Dave Rubin. I am. I don't know. I have his. I have his phone number.
He's working on it.
No, I don't. I'm. I find Dave to be a guy that I think has a lot of potential that we can bring into the movement for sure. And I do think that he's a likable enough guy. I think he's a friendly enough person. I think he's got a decent enough mind. And I'm actually still trying to work out. I'm going to try to see if I can get a drink with him a little later this month. But which
but
he agreed
a friendly
to do
one,
earlier.
Which is code for...
No, animostic. A purely aggressive drink I put in, yelling in his face and throwing it at him. No, I told him I want to talk to him about the Mises Caucus. I want to talk to him about what's going on in the party and see, because he was a Trump guy, and I want to see if he's open to coming on our side, having more people on his show and adopting more of our hardcore libertarian philosophy as opposed to his, I don't know what you'd call it, classic liberalism, right?
Well, didn't he famously tell Jo Jorgensen when he was interviewing Jo Jorgensen and she said, well, will you vote for me? He said, nope. Voting for Trump.
The best one, there's a video. Someone did a remix of that with like the Curb Your Enthusiasm music over it, and like zooming in on Dave, just like, bum, bum, bum.
Exactly. But no, I'm hoping to become far friendlier with Dave. He's out here. The Dave Rubens. He would be a great ally for us, and I want to get on the show. So there's that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he was
Dave, if you're listening, Brian wants to be on your show.
Obama guy, and then a Bernie guy, and then a Gary guy, and then a Trump guy, and then a we're not really sure. Like, it's just a sliding scale. So, you know, as long as you can pull them off the scale and pull them in, it's good. So
right, exactly. Well, I was talking, I went to like a meetup because he's got a locals group where he does it, which I guess we might be looking at locals too, just because we keep getting fucking Facebook warnings every I went to a locals meetup, and a lot of the people at the locals meetup, I wouldn't say they're all hardcore libertarians, but in talking to a lot of them, they're very much people in our way of thinking. So his audience is our basic audience with some, it's 90% overlap, right? So you'd think that he would be enticed to expand his audience with a little bit more libertarian thinking. And the people that are already listening to Dave are still going to listen to Dave Rubin, and they listen to him for a reason. So if he comes to our way of thinking, then his people will follow. He can be gay, used to be Democrat Jesus for that part of the libertarian community.
Yeah. Yeah. So have you guys had any weird moments where you're in a non-libertarian setting and someone comes over to you and says, "You're the guy from Lions of Liberty"? Have you had that over the years that you've been doing the show, or?
Only at libertarian events.
Yeah, I wouldn't say a non-libertarian
not out on the street
events. I mean,
oddly enough, our buddy Jason Jay Birdsell was wearing a T-shirt randomly on a fucking subway or a street in Pittsburgh, and somebody was like, "Hey, ready to roar," or something like that, Adam. So it does happen in the wild, but
it's the only time it's ever happened to anybody.
Not to make all my milestones about Tom Woods, but the biggest one for me was when I walked into, I think it was the Human Action Bash in 2016. Does that sound right?
2016, yep, New Orleans.
Yeah, wow, is that long ago? The first thing I hear is that Mark Claire? And I look up and it's Tom Woods. I'm like, no, I mean, yes, it is, but I'm supposed to be saying that to you. Like, what?
Did he have sunglasses on?
No, he didn't have sunglasses on.
This is a pre-sunglass era. This is pre-glaucoma, Tom. Yeah,
like, Odie and I were at that, that was actually 2018. It seems longer ago. It was 2018. But yeah, that was the first event where I think that, and then we went to Porkfest right before that. Those two events, there was a lot of people that were like, "Oh, you're the guys from Lions of Liberty, you're Mark from
Right.
Lions
well,
Liberty.
Yeah, I mean, but, yeah. Well, yeah, if we're talking about libertarian events, then yes, people come up, but in non-libertarian settings, not really. I said, in LA, it's the equivalent to being a pedophile.
Well, in LA, regular celebrities barely get noticed because they're not the big celebrities. So yeah, we're certainly not being recognized.
I'm hoping Vince Vaughn comes up and goes, "Hey, you're that guy from Lions of Liberty."
He might.
"Hey, you drafted me in the Liberty draft, right?"
"I never forgot you for that. By the way, we do need to do another Liberty draft. There's a lot of new people. Reed would probably get drafted. I mean, there's a lot of movers and shakers. I was just talking to somebody recently that said they were really excited about the Liberty draft, and they're pissed we haven't done it in a while. This was like 2 days ago. I can't remember who the fuck said it.
That would be the first person to ever give me feedback about it. So they should. More people should do that if they want to hear that.
People love the Liberty draft, man.
Yeah. I'm down. It's the hard part is getting six of us together at once, because we have a couple other people that rotate through the show who are also friends of ours from college, who kind of became, they're not really hosts per se, but they're, I don't know, rotating commentators.
You know, this is kind of an interesting topic as I once again take over Reed's show. So we do this thing called the Liberty Draft, right? The concept is that we have something like 12 slots, and we have, you know, positions, president, vice president, press secretary, you know, YouTuber, whatever it is. But we go through and we draft people in the Liberty Movement. But what's fascinating is that we used to do it like once every year and a half, 2 years. It takes a long time to get through, right? And you don't want to have people just listening for 8 hours. So what's fascinating, though, is to see risers and fallers in the movement, right? Mm-hmm. Not like, you know, some people die, rest in peace, Robert Wenzel. But a lot of people shockingly drop very quickly out of the movement that, you know, rise up, they're honestly, and then they're just gone.
The first time we did it, like, there just weren't enough libertarians. So we're drafting, like, we're reaching outside. JB drafted Barack Obama.
That was in a later Liberty draft, and he'll never live it down.
But I like drafting Joe Rogan. I feel like if we did one now, Joe Rogan's not getting drafted. I mean, there's just too many better options.
I don't know, not with his reach. Well, we could save that for the Liberty draft conversation.
But draft Dave and have Dave go on Joe Rogan in this fantasy.
Yeah, that's true, I guess. Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, Reed, what other, I don't want to keep asking Reed things.
Yes,
Reed,
you
what
do.
Questions
that's
do you
how
have
you
for
keep
us?
Doing it. Of course you do. This is just more of Brian ruining my future interview with Reed, because first he books you when I was already about to book you, and then he asks you every question that I would ask. So I don't even know what's left for us. Took the long, a nice stroll in the park slowly, maybe someday.
As I slowly take over the entire Lions of Liberty feed.
And yeah, Brian's interviewing some felons right after this too.
Well, no, I was going to say, you know, it's like, it's one of those funny things though. And I was talking, I can't remember who the fuck I was talking to about this recently, but I was talking to somebody recently about burnout, right? Like Liberty burnout, and how it's so frustrating in the movement. I think this is why you see a lot of people climb up and drop out, right? It's because in a lot of ways, once you've been doing it, especially once you do it for a while, like a long time, you really see that it feels like we're screaming into the void a lot. And it just, things just keep getting worse. Nothing ever seems to get better, you know, no matter how, what happens. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on that, man? Is that weighing on you at all? Are you still holding strong?
Brian's trying to discourage you out of the business. Like,
no, I swear to God, I'm not.
How close are you to quitting? That's the real question.
When would you say you're going to quit? I'll give you a dollar to take over your channel.
Well, I took on the cause of trying to unite libertarians, which is the most impossible thing ever. And it's been discouraging in some ways, but then seeing the people who have run with it, like Dave Smith and Spike Cohen and Justin Amash, you know, they had a clubhouse meeting over that idea. And I was kind of one of the people who was inserting it into the conversation back in January. So I don't know. In some ways, it's amazing how much the ripple effect works if you just say one thing at one point and it really takes off. Mm-hmm. But then, there's so much autism and so much stupidity going on that, I mean, it does weigh on you. So you just got to look at the good and realize that you're going to get the bad with the good, I guess. I don't know. I mean, it's a balancing act.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the one thing that worries me, speaking of Liberty burnout, there's a lot of new people coming into the movement right now. And what's happening with the Mises Caucus, so many new people are coming in. And I'm just watching these, you know, young people in their, you know, 20s, and they're just trying freaking everything. Starting a podcast, they're getting involved with their local LP, they're involved with the Mises Caucus, they're going to all these meetings. I'm like, you're gonna kill yourself. I mean, you're gonna quit. You're gonna burn out very quickly. And I don't know. I mean, if I was going to give some advice, I would just say, just tone it down just a little bit.
Find at least one other interest or hobby.
All right. Yeah.
And a woman in your life of some kind, or a man, whatever. I'm not judging.
Have other things. Sex dolls also fine. Yeah. Sex dolls are good. Yeah. No, I mean, that's actually good advice though, because I was talking about when you get, and it's like to get into libertarianism, like there's not a lot of people that gently dip a toe into libertarianism, right? It's like, because it's a lot of philosophy. You got to get into it to understand it. Now, granted, I do think there's also a rise in grifters going on, you know, out there. And I'm not talking about people that are actually selling products so much as people that are out there pretending to be libertarians but really don't know shit that are...
Name names. Like,
I'm not going to name any names.
Talking about feds?
Pretty ladies, let's say, honey potters, that I've seen a bunch of these pretty liberty ladies come out there. I got in a fight. I know, right? I got in a fight with her. She knew nothing about anything. All she posted, I hate commies, and she has 12,000 followers. And I was like, why don't you get the fuck out of here? But, the point being, though,
hey, you're way too attractive to be a libertarian. Get the fuck out of here.
I'm going to scare you away. She was probably like, just figured out libertarianism, and then she gets attacked by this raging bald lunatic. She's like, all right, I like commies. Just kidding.
I really do know. Funny quick story. We had an event in LA where it was me, Dave Smith, Jason Stapleton, and Mark. And it was funny. There were these, we walked in. No, that was another event. That was a different one.
No, Dave was at the same one as Scott. Dave was only there once.
No, you're wrong. So anyway, we walk in and there's these two really good looking girls sitting at the bar, right? And it's at this special upstairs room and the state social house. And we go in there and we're setting up. It's just two hot chicks. And I'm like,
afraid of where the story's going.
I should go tell them that we're going to do a libertarian event here. And they're in the wrong place. So I'm like, just to let you guys know, there's going to be a big libertarian thing happening here. I don't know if you want to hang out here.
Girls.
Literally. I'm like, you might want to get out of here. And they're like, no, we're here for the event. They're like, we're actually members of your pride. And I was like, oh, Well, then.
I think they still are, actually.
They are. I know. It blew my fucking mind. I was like, wow, this is a complete two hot trannies from Colin Tom in the comments. Yep. That's what happens. The trannies
are out. You got a great commenters, Reed. I'm following along here.
Yeah, no, I wish I could. On my phone, I can't see them, so I would be bringing them up, but I can't.
Should I read your super chats since they're paying $100?
Tiny window. Oh, I can't click the way my phone.
Yeah. All good.
Let's see. Yeah, no, I got. It's gonna mess it up. It's on my phone. But I saw that Bert threw a super chat in Top Lobster, so thank you guys. But I'll post on Twitter or something.
Do you want me to read them for you so you can respond to them on air?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Well, Bert. I don't know. Am I supposed to reveal his identity? I think people know. It's pretty obvious from his picture here.
No, he's good.
Good old Neo Connor Hoover. He says, cool headset, Reed. How many games of Halo did you have to play to win that? And then Top Lobster commented, I want to debate Dave on crustaceans versus shellfish. These people paid $5 to say these things. Amazing.
Really? This is why we're putting
That's
resources
into... That's just how much they love the naturalist capitalist.
Well, no, this is the problem. We're demonetized on YouTube, so we cannot have super chats.
Oh yeah, we can't. Fuck.
That's the problem.
I don't even know why we got demonetized.
We got demonetized a couple years ago
because of you, Brian. All your copyright infringement.
We know why.
It is. You can use for the purposes of satire. Like I'll do joking.
Yeah, but algorithms can't be reasoned with. That's the problem.
Well, and apparently there's no way to challenge this shit, but I'll do funny songs.
There is a way to challenge it, but first you have to get through through this process that I'm stuck at in AdSense. Anyway, we don't need to bore the audience with our foibles with YouTube, but anyway, it's a pain.
Well, no, it is interesting. You guys haven't had Ryan Dawson on your show yet at all, right?
No, but I'm interviewing him this week. So let's see what happens.
Oh, wow. There you go.
Can you give me Ryan Dawson's cell phone so I can scoop him real quick?
Until Brian gets him on tomorrow's show tonight somehow.
I think I've had him on 4 or 5 times, and I'm still monetized. So that's pretty impressive. That's kind of proud of that. I don't know how either, because there wasn't much.
Bert's comments, man. Bert also, this is not a super chat. I'm going to read it anyway. He says, Andy Craig isn't even a libertarian. He just looks like one.
That's too good.
So when I first started this channel, initially I thought, I don't know enough. Like I don't know enough philosophy. I don't know enough about life. I don't know enough about economics to talk about this. And then I looked around at everyone else who was starting a podcast, and I was like, okay, actually I'm in the upper third level probably of podcasters out there. So I just went for it. But was it that bad when you guys started, or were it just since fewer people were doing it, you didn't have as many retards out there, or what was it like?
No, Mark was the retard when we started. It was Tom and Mark. So Mark was, there were only two podcasts. So Mark was by default the retard in the equation.
Yeah, what people don't know about Mark is he's a boomer at heart. Mm-hmm. So technology, anything to do with computers.
It's actually amazing that I somehow started a podcast.
So I saw that Mark was able to somehow do it and post podcasts regularly, and they sounded good. I can do this. Mark can.
Yeah. And, I mean,
kind of how it
that's
went.
Our real source of inspiration. If these idiots can do it, surely we can too.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And that's that. Yeah. I mean, that is a good point, though. Yeah. It makes it accessible. I mean, I will say, you know, I'm not, I will say my show, I'm not a guy who has read every libertarian philosophy book out there. I've read a few of them. I've got Anatomy of the State. I've got all that shit.
That's a pamphlet. Okay. I'm waiting for a book.
I will say that's true. That is a pamphlet. I've got, I do have, God,
what
I've got
the government done to my money.
I know. I've got the pages. Giant, I've got the giant one by Rothbard too. I've read mostly Rothbard.
You've got it, but
Rothbard.
Have you read it?
Yes. I flipped through it on the toilet. Yes. Man, Economy of State.
And of course, the pictures.
Economics in one lesson and all that shit. Right. So I've got my basic base, but I don't think, you know, when it comes down to it, again, there's a philosophy, but it's fairly easy to grasp. It's more how you apply the philosophy to current day situations rather than just having a distinct knowledge about these things that you can quote, you know, upon demand. You know, it's like there's a difference between, I guess, being a boring ass preacher, right, who's just quoting Bible verses at people, and somebody that's actually, again, causing inspiration or giving you practical knowledge that you could apply in conversations with people in the wilderness. You know, I think that's the difference, is that it's good to have a purely educational background, but, you know, when it comes to podcasting, it's about delivering a message appropriately, you know, in a way that's going to resonate. So that's where you probably make, you know, more headway, even if you don't have this deep philosophical background, you know, you don't have the, you know, man, economy, and state memorized. That's where the difference really can be made, because it's practical applications, which is something that libertarians are in very severe lack of, simply being able to convey a message to somebody about the real world application and how it's fucking them in the ass is something that not many people can do succinctly without boring people to tears. So there's a lot to be said for that. You know, especially like you said, you're looking at other podcasts out there.
Yeah. I mean, when I started mine, my knowledge was basically all from listening to other podcasts. I hadn't read much libertarian theory. You know, I'd listened to a lot of Peter Schiff episodes and Tom Woods episodes and stuff like that, but I hadn't actually sat down and read any of the books. And I've been doing that over the last year. And I mean, to your point, you don't even really need to read the books if you understand the basic principles and you can apply them to life and show people how it's going to change their lives. And, you know, I kind of came at that backwards. I remember when I was working, I knew all these people who were taking loans out that there's no way they should have been approved for, that was way above their pay scale, and they're getting these cars, and it was just blowing my mind. I was like, why are you able to do this? This doesn't make any sense. And then you start learning about the Federal Reserve and artificially low interest rates and all this crap, and then it all starts to make sense. Then you understand why everybody's in debt and everything. Yeah. But if you can just bring those basic principles to people's attention, then you're doing more than someone who reads every single libertarian book and is just spouting out, you know, platitudes and
that's such a good point, because I think we're so often, and I'm as guilty of this over the, especially my early years of libertarianism, we want everyone to, we're inclined to get to think people are going to be inspired or learn the same way we do. So for someone like me, like reading 10 books really got me into like libertarianism. But most people aren't going to necessarily learn that same way. And I think our instinct is to be like, just go read these 10 books that I read too, and you'll be just like me. But that's not that if that was going to work, we wouldn't need a podcast. I would need one episode that said, read these 10 books and then go about your merry way. Well, but that's not how people learn. That's not how people communicate. That's not how they get inspired. So I think our Lions Liberty has basically been one 8-year long experiment on different ways we can find to reach people, inspire people, educate people in ways that go beyond just go read Man, Economy, and State and get back to me in 3 years.
Right. And well, that's also, I think it's the a reason, dry fucking read.
Hey, Brian, all right, go, Odie, go. Stop talking.
Go ahead, John. Bore the people with your quoting of Rothbard.
No, I think one of the reasons why at Lions of Liberty, why we've had success and we've gained traction is because we say this and we advertise ourselves this way as a variety show. You know, we offer three really different shows. And I mean, there's people, some people, I don't know why, maybe they're stupid, but they don't listen to all of our shows. Maybe they'll just listen to Brian or just listen to me or just listen to Mark. But that's fine. I mean, that's great, because
no, it's not. They should be listening to everything, or at least download it.
As long as they subscribe, twice. I don't care.
Subscribe. Actually, as long as they send us $5 a month or so, I'm good.
Subscribe on a phone, subscribe on your wife's phone. That's all we care about.
All the phones.
Your children
in the household.
But I mean, it's sort of giving the message in different packages. So, you know, Brian's talking about current events and, you know, packaging it in comedy and cursing and swearing to people.
Anger and hangovers.
And Mark's, you know, bringing his hair to the table and his interview skills. And then myself with Finding Freedom, I'm doing real interviews and real work with interesting people. So, you know, it's...
Wait a minute. That was a really interestingly veiled insult. Nice job.
Well, yeah. For a while, John, you were just depressing the shit out of people. And, you know, so it's good we moved on from that. It's our most important and most depressing show. But no, I mean, you know, like what I was trying to say before, Odie rudely interrupted me to speak for once on the podcast.
This whole podcast.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, libertarianism needs to be boiled down into a better way to communicate with people. It's dry. Like, if you've ever tried to read Man, Economy, and State, it is unbelievably tedious. It is fucking long.
I would actually never recommend it to anyone
right now.
It's
I'm still working on it. I'm still working on it. It's 11-hour days, like listening to it into the truck, and it's like, oh my god. I mean, I'll space out for an hour and I'll forget that I've spaced out. But, oh god, I don't have any idea what he just said for the last hour.
Now I have to go back. Fuck it. I'll listen to a podcast instead.
Don't fall asleep. Get enough caffeine when you're listening to that.
But it is true though, right? I mean, that's why the only book I recommend, well, two, I recommend End the Fed, and I recommend Economics in One Lesson. Because Economics in One Lesson is an approachable read. It's interesting. It's entertaining. You know, and the Fed's a good read. So it's that. And also, there was a great joke. I'll give him credit. Nap Time said, more like doesn't read Coverdale. Funny. Or doesn't read cover to Coverdale would also be good.
That's you should bring us on as like your comment readers for shows like this when you can't see the comments live. And we'll just be here reading comments, commenting.
Need, like, tech support. Yeah.
Yeah. Mark, is that your alarm for your prostate milking?
Yeah, I mean, I was saying there, though, earlier.
No.
Whoa, we got Ryan Dawson in the chat. What did he say? That's Rena Kawa. I'm not supposed to say that. That's not Ryan.
Oh. He says, is he one of those? Is it been Ryan the whole time that I thought was a hot grifter? Because he's got a hot chick as his photo.
Yes, that's correct.
That's hilarious.
It's not Ryan. It's definitely not Ryan Dawson.
Definitely.
I'll clear this up with my first question to this person that I'm interviewing this week about whether that's them or not, but I can't say who that is because we don't know.
Perfect. Yeah, he said Separation of Business and State is a great book.
Or she said.
Oh, and then Bert said, time's up, Mark. So Mark's apparently been canceled already, which is
great. That's a joke about my alarm from 2 minutes ago. Catch up.
All right. Anyway.
But going back to what you guys were saying earlier about how you each have your own message that reaches different people, a lot of people don't understand that. I mean, as long as they're all selling the same product, then different messaging is good because you're going to reach different people. So many people seem to think that we all need to have the exact same messaging, where that's a load of crap. I mean, because some people are going to be turned off by me because I have hair, and then they'll like Brian, you know, like it just doesn't matter. I mean, it depends on, you know, who's doing the speaking. So
those people are really going to hate me then.
Well, you know what, man? This is a good analogy here. I'm the only beautiful bald man on this podcast. You should thank me for appearing
on. I'm the only bald man on this podcast.
You haired zealots, disgusting. So, you know Geico, right? To give an example in a consumer world, Geico.
It's actually our latest sponsor is Geico. Geico Insurance sponsor.
Well, not for long. Not for long. Not after I question Memorial Day in Electric Liberty Land tomorrow, but. No, you know, Geico famously hired many different ad agencies, right? Like, if you watch Geico's commercials, they're all over the fucking map. They had the cavemen, they had the lizard, they had the, I don't even know, funny commercials, wrong shit, you know, these things with ants going through your fucking house. They intentionally hired different ad firms that have different messages, they have different budgets. I mean, their motorcycle commercials are shit, but that reaches the motorcycle audience, and it's worked. Geico went from being nothing to one of the largest insurers in the world, and it to your point, Reed, and to what we're trying to do is, you know, there's different messages that are going to resonate with everybody, and just you know, it's important to build a brand for sure, and the Libertarian Party needs to work on building a brand, but us, as far as messengers, yeah, we should definitely embrace different approaches, different messages, different ways of reaching people, and not subscribe to one straight philosophy and ostracize and attack anybody else who doesn't exactly agree with everything that we're saying. Which
that's why we started a libertarian podcast hosted by three white dudes from the same college.
We have a black guy.
For the diversity.
We have a black guy. He's from the same college. And we have a Puerto Rican guy from the same college.
Who's white.
He is white.
And we have Howie. And no one knows what the fuck he is.
He's a mutant never made for mass production.
I'm still not convinced he was actually at Childerberg. Because I've seen no evidence of it.
I know.
I haven't even heard a person say, good to see you there, Howie. I've heard nothing.
If any of you commenters watching the YouTube live stream saw Howie, one of our Lions of Liberty at Childerberg, comment now.
Tell us in a super chat for $5.
Yeah, exactly. Support Reed by super chatting it.
Also, Brian, with your, I mean, good comparison with Geico, I guess, but does anybody know anyone that has Geico insurance? I don't know a single person.
No.
I'm not going to lie to you.
Oh, they must be doing well, right?
Okay.
I was going to say, how often do you start conversations with,
I
say hey,
15%,
what insurance do you have?
Yeah. Did you really? Should I go get Geico? I don't know. No.
It was boring conversationalist ever.
Well, I used to do really well on Geico when I lived in New Hampshire, but car insurance in Salt Lake City is a little higher than rural New Hampshire. So, I mean, that's a bummer moving to the city from
is
the
it,
country.
Is it because of all the Mormons? Car. They're like, there's so many Mormons always there. All these people have 8 kids riding their goddamn cars. The insurance rates have got to go up. There's a lot of liability there, guys. Stop marrying so many people.
Well,
stop having so many kids.
It's their 8. I was going to say it's their eight wives, not their eight kids. You know, right. If they got kids, you're up to like 40. So they
strap
have to drive
to the
a
roof.
School bus to church on Sunday.
Bert just commented, since this is my role on the show, libertarians can't go 5 minutes without talking about private insurance.
If we just modeled health insurance like Geico does with car insurance,
then everything would be fine.
It's true, though.
So do you guys think that podcasts are going to continue to be the rage, or is something else going to supplant them in the near future?
Oh, man.
I think, video is supplanting podcasts as we speak, which is why we're pivoting more to
video. That's why we're reluctantly doing video.
You know, for a long time, we never did anything.
We don't like it.
We've just kind of started to. Brian's being dragged in, kicking and screaming, but I don't know. It'll probably, after video, it'll be something crazy we can't even imagine, like some sort of virtual reality where you're sitting there and the person talking is sitting next to you, or maybe sitting on your lap, or I don't know. Maybe.
By the way, buy our new Lions of Liberty sex dolls. You can get those at lionsofdicks.liberty.com. And you can listen to podcasts. Our mouths move when the podcasts are on from our each individual person. And
that probably is the future of podcasts. You go into you put on a headset and you're just in a room with the podcasters and you're hanging out. And then in Odie's version, you're on their lap for some reason.
You don't want Joe Rogan sitting on your lap? No.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't get you people that watch videos.
Dave Smith on one knee, Joe Rogan on another knee. Like, yeah, I don't know. Why not?
Sorry, what, Reed?
Yeah, I did. I started with video. I didn't start doing audio till last week. I finally started uploading the episodes, and I don't know. Apparently, I did it backwards. Almost everyone else did it the other way. Even people who've started recently, like I know video wasn't as popular back when you guys were doing it, but almost everybody is audio and not video. And I'm retarded. I did it backwards, so I'm trying to catch up.
I think you
right
did
now.
It the right way,
dude,
for the market.
That's the
right
beauty
now.
Of the tech. Yeah. Well, that's the beauty of the technology, though. Too is it, back when we started the podcast. You could not have StreamYard wasn't around. Zoom didn't exist. You would have had to set up a camera, record on your computer, export the audio. There were so many more steps to it. Where now it's a seamless thing. You got the video, you export both, bing bang, you upload them quick. Like it's far fucking easier now. And yeah, I mean that's why we're gonna do more video. It's just for me, I just talk into a camera. Like, I don't have that many guests, so it's a pain in the fucking ass, which is why I'm annoyed by it. But
you just have to change your background.
Just keep taking all my guests.
Well,
the week before
I had the fucking Lions of Liberty background up here, and some reason halfway through the green steam started twerking out, and my fucking head started shining with, I don't even know, fucking black alien mold. So I turned it off, and that is how the green sheet.
You're not as scary as Clint. Clint has the scariest green screen effect. His eyes and his teeth and everything start like that is terrifying. It's only at night though. If you're in the day, he looks fine. But every video I do with him at night, I'm just I think he's like demon possessed or something. It's kind of scary.
Yeah, exactly. And it's only I turned it off because it's nighttime here now. But yeah, but no, I don't. I mean, I don't get video as far as. I have to sit down and watch the video to hear it. Or I guess if you pay for YouTube Prime, you can. Yes, I can stand up and show my massive dong to the world right now. No, I know you can stand up and watch, but whatever. I'm on the go all the time. Like I go to the gym and listen. I guess people go to the gym and watch on their phones and shit, but I don't know. I got other things to look at. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, people don't watch like a lot of people don't watch TV anymore. Like this is what people watch.
Yeah.
Instead of watching television or sports or whatever, people watch this right now. All these people watching us.
Well,
crazy,
they must be very disappointed.
Crazy.
Watch out, football! Naturalist capitalist is coming for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, to me, it's kind of a mix of a white pill and a black pill. It's like, yay, people are listening to me, and then at the same time, it's like, oh no. People are listening to me, you know.
Right? Yeah.
Like,
no shit.
Wow. This is
going to be a problem.
Like Reed Coverdale. Yeah.
Well, at least the FBI knows
you
who you
that
are now. That's the
feeling ever.
News.
Like. Yeah.
Yeah. I think one way to I forget who said this, but like when you start getting a big audience, like thousands, of people, and you picture it as like talking to a room full of people. It's like, holy shit, I'm talking to a lot of people. Because like a room of people, you're talking like 200 people in front of your face, 500 people, like, wow, that's a lot of people.
I did it when I had 40 downloads. I did that visualization exercise. Yeah. I was like, oh, 40 people listening to me? That's kind of cool. But if you just look at the number, it looks like it's pathetic, like 40 people, what the fuck? But then you think about 40 people, like if I literally held an event in 2013 when no one heard of me and 40 people showed up to it to listen to me talk, that would be a big deal, actually. That would be like amazing. So it's all perspective. It's all, you know, you have to look at it and, you know.
But I think also what you're talking about is like, you know, the danger of, okay, more people are listening. What does that mean? I mean, I do public relations for a living, right? And I'm in LA. I, you know, when I'm pitching new business,
Brian
I'm
has like, to say right. that one time for every podcast.
Well, I know, but I'm giving it context for people, right? This is the first time we've been on this podcast, you dumb shithead.
That's true.
So the context is, though, I'm out pitching new business. I'm in super liberal LA, and I work with a lot of nonprofits, a lot of woke fucking industries. And I'm always like, are these motherfuckers just going to Google me real quick? And like, you're like, not working with that guy, not with that libertarian prick. You know, so
you'll never know the
worried.
Jobs you lost because someone Googled you.
Seriously, man, I think about it, especially if I'm going to look for new work or new jobs here in this market. It's definitely a worry. And at the same time, though, half of me is rooting to just be fucking canceled. And then I'll be like, good. Well, now I have an excuse to just go full bore down this road and say, fuck it. And, you know, there's something within all humans, or at least I think a lot of us, where you get to a certain point, you're like, you know what? I kind of would be fine if I just poured gasoline on the floor, got drunk, lit a match, and just walked off into the fucking sunset and see what happens. So
just got to make sure to walk off.
Come cancel
before
me.
You drop the match. Just
that's there is. You got the hot shoe like that Antifa guy in the hilarious YouTube video. If you guys remember that.
Yeah. So if you guys started in 2011, 2012, the same time.
2013 is when the podcast was launched, about 1 month before the old Tom Woods show got going.
So was it just Scott Horton and Ryan Dawson doing libertarian like podcasts? Was that about it? Or videos or whatever? Was anyone else doing it big time back then?
Yeah, but it was like the first big like libertarian podcast I knew of was the Tom Woods show that came out like after us. You know, because before that, like I said, there was just like there were people doing other podcasts. Like I was familiar with Ryan Dawson. I had seen some of his like streams. I had seen some Scott Horton stuff. But again, it was just like I was looking for something more specific. I was looking for literally like interviews with libertarians about why they're libertarians. And that was something. Now you can find 100,000 of those. But when I was, you know, was starting out, that didn't exist. Like even, you know, at best you might have an off Lou Rockwell interview every 2 weeks or every 3 weeks. And even those weren't even necessarily just what I was looking for. Now, if you're a libertarian and you're looking for some kind of content, it probably exists. You know, if you're looking for a guy talking to you in a truck with his mustache, you got that. If you're looking for a bald raging lunatic screaming at you about current events, you got that. We have many options out there now, pretty much every option, but I say every option because it just feels that way to me, but there's always another angle. There's always something that's going to appeal to someone else that somebody hasn't thought of. So I shouldn't be doing it because we talked about this earlier, why we keep encouraging these fucking people to keep starting these podcasts. But there probably is an angle out there that has not been tapped into. And the way to figure that angle out is, what are you missing? Like, what is lacking in your life? What are you not listening to because you can't find it? And that's what you should create or not watching or what have you.
Yeah. Do you guys think it's funny when the people with 5 followers on Twitter and, you know, maybe 4 subscribers on YouTube are criticizing people with thousands of subscribers and thousands of followers? You always kind of, you know, they're saying like, you really shouldn't say that, or you're doing this wrong, your messaging is off. And, you know, most of these people don't have any platform. And it's like, well, you know, dude, you could just go start a show and start talking that way and see how it works out for you. But I think they kind of know how it would work out. And so that's why they don't really do it.
Are you referring to the one that gets the most criticism for sucking? So what's your response?
I never get criticism for sucking, but I mean, it depends what they're saying. I mean, if they're saying like stupid stuff that doesn't add any value, that's actually not real criticism. I mean, just block them. I mean, there's a block button for a reason, or mute them. But yeah, I mean, there's no reason to leave those people on your feed if they're just kind of talking shit on you and not adding any real value. That's not to say you block everybody who disagrees with you. I mean, there's definitely, you know, something to be said for that, having that discussion or bringing that onto your, you know, onto your Twitter feed. But, you know, we don't have like huge Twitter followings. I think our Lions of Liberty page, we only
started almost 10,000.
I guess our problem with Lions of Liberty is there's 3 of us And then we have, so we have our individual feeds, then there's Lions of Liberty, and we've kind
of... Which Vine has the most followers, but that's neither here nor there.
That's because you respond to too much shit. I'm aloof. I like people to have to earn my responses.
We've treated Lions of Liberty kind of as like, I mean, we're not going out like, you know, going after people and being controversial. It's just kind of, we're posting our stuff and letting it be. And how you build a Twitter following is by being controversial and stirring shit up. And we haven't done that with our feed. So I don't know. Maybe we should start to.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just tonight shocks everybody. Just like, the Lions of Liberty said that? No way.
But, yeah, exactly.
They called more Tom Twitter, Woods a more, cunt? What?
More punching up. Yeah, way more punching up, punching down, punching left and right, just spinning in circles with your arms extended like a drunk girl on a playground. That's, I think, our strategy moving forward.
We need to do something marketing. We call our patron supporters the Lions of Liberty Pride. It's Pride Month.
Yeah, we got to do something.
Got to do something with that.
Ooh.
Well, Ryan Dawson says he can blow our Twitter up if we hire him. We don't have the money for that.
Yeah, he can blow it up and make it go away very quickly.
Literally. Literally blow it up. Get us on federal watch lists, black bagged, off to the gulag. Yeah.
I think I got like 1,000 people.
If you're not getting to the gulag
over the last 2 weeks, and then he's gone.
Nah, nice. $5, so we could pay that. Yeah, I mean, I just go back to the main question, though. It's one of those things where Odie nailed it. What are people saying to you? Because a lot of people have a lot of stupid ideas, but some people come at you, you know, people have made very good points to me that have no followings. And I don't know, you take them as it comes, man. I would hope that people never get too big where they can't accept criticisms or can't see a valid point. You know, I never want to get to that purpose where, or that point in my life where I'm not actually... I don't have an open mind, you know, especially from a libertarian perspective, right? We're supposed to be the logical ones that can take something, acknowledge it, break it down, see if it applies. If it works, it works. And if it doesn't, then you can block them. But until that point, might as well take all comers.
I think I've blocked also the name of my porn in my entire Twitter career.
Three? That's
and
it?
Maybe, if that.
I've blocked a young more, Reed on, Coverdale. More on Twitter than Facebook. I've only ever blocked one person on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I knew who it was.
I know it was the same person I blocked.
We all have the same person blocked.
Who will not be named. He doesn't need the publicity.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's what... Let's close on that. The idea of giving people who are detractors a platform. You know, like, I think that so many people keep unearthing the stupidity of these arguments that are going on all the time, where if they just ignored them, they'd probably disappear, but they can't resist the urge. You know, someone will say something dumb and then hundreds of people will quote it and it'll just blow up into a shitstorm. When if that one person who had a large, if someone has like 10,000 followers or something and they quote tweet it, there you go. You've just like opened a can of worms where if it was like, hey, just ignored that guy, he'd literally not do anything because nobody cares what he has to say until you get involved. Do you guys think that's kind of the case a lot of the time?
I mean, not to get too like philosophical or deep here, but I honestly think that, especially with libertarians, that there's people addicted to stirring, you know, throwing shit, starting shit storms, and they need it. They feed off of it. And that's from all sides. I mean, I'm not like pointing the finger at any, you know, one caucus or one group or anything. And honestly, if they had more happening maybe in their own life and, you know, were working towards something, maybe they wouldn't be spending so much time, you know, just wasting everyone else's time. So I don't know. Introspection.
I will say the most effective way, if somebody's really being a fucking dickhole cunt and trying to start shit, the most effective thing you can do is honestly to ignore them, simply because your indifference will hurt them more deeply, will bother them longer than your responding.
They'll be checking all day. Like, did that son of a bitch reply to me?
He didn't. They will check all fucking day, and you're being too good or so uninterested in their opinion. Well, not only, if it's a dumb opinion, you shouldn't be interested in it anyway, right? So you being too aloof, not even ready, you're indifferent to me, you mean nothing, is more powerful than you loving or hating that person.
It'll just fire them up more. You abandoned this post, Brian. You abandoned this post, you son of a bitch.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll cut off there. Thanks for coming on, guys. This was fun.
That was Reed's nice way of saying I'm getting kind of bored with this. No, it's not true. It's just the delay makes it sound like Reed is always bored with us, but it's just a delay. I know, it's a technical glitch.
Reed, I just imagine Reed, he's not, instead of responding as he's hearing it, he's just thinking in his mind, what the fuck did I have these idiots on my show for? Every time for 3 seconds, and then he responds.
Yeah, well, I do thank you guys for coming on. It was great. We had fun, and I like your show. I don't think it's fair that some of us new guys have risen as quickly as we have. I think it has a lot to do with the times and the technology and how crazy everyone is. But why don't you guys just each give your plugs? I think I've got your Twitter page and your YouTube channel and each of your Twitter pages. But if you guys want to say anything or anything else you want to talk
send
about,
money.
We'll close out. So you go first.
Send
Brian.
Money.
Send All right. Money. I'm supposed to go first. I guess, send money and nudes. But no, yeah, you can support our show and everything we do at lionsofliberty.com. It's the website. You can find all the content, but patreon.com/lionsofliberty. You know, we have a lot of extra content. I do my daily rants. Good Morning Fuckhead is what the name of it is. It's one topic. Do Nothing Man, which is a libertarian superhero character. And of course, my show is Electric Liberty Land. But also want to tell you guys to check out, we have other podcasts. Mark, Odie and I are on one with a couple of the Lions of Liberty, where we do reality TV reviews, shitting on these people. We do patents that are terrible, and we try to find good ways to use them, as well as Am I the Assholes? It's a comedy show, and the reason I like to tell people about this is because we need to find ways to get libertarians into the mainstream, where we're not just preaching liberty, liberty, liberty. If people like you, they will listen to you, and they will be more open to the other shit you say that they might not agree with if they already like you.
And the name of the show, Brian?
You're gonna say sorry. I forgot to mention the name of the show. It's The Boring, B-O-R, capital B-O-R, The Boring Podcast. And you can find that anywhere. And also go to theboringpod.com. You can find it there.
Website and everything. Well, while we're promoting podcasts that aren't the one that we were on here to talk about, I would also encourage people to check out the Second Print Comics podcast from myself and Remzo Martinez, another libertarian out there trying to do things in the culture. We've got an awesome response from that. We have like our Patreon is just doing awesome, like especially in relative to our downloads since we're still pretty small. But we're doing things to get out there and reach people about different subjects than just the libertarian stuff. Because like Brian said, if you're not always out there just doing your libertarian thing, you're able to reach people that you wouldn't have necessarily reached otherwise. So we have a lot of fans from all different political persuasions that listen to the comic podcast. And now maybe some of them perhaps might actually take some of our political opinions more seriously when they happen to hear them not being shoved down their throat, when they just happen to see a tweet or what have you. They'll say, well, I actually already like this person from this comic book show that I listened to. So it just helps get yourself out there and kind of help us become part of the culture. I think that's the most important thing. We have to stop focusing so much on creating a libertarian culture and just being libertarians who happen to be in the culture, because that's how we're really going to be able to change people. So Second Print Comics podcast, secondprintcomics.com, at Second Print Pod. And I think we covered everything else as far as my stuff goes. So Odie,
I can plug? Promote Lions of Liberty since we're
kind of
that. But yeah, I mean, a great point, Mark. We have had people come in from our other shows into Lions of Liberty to support us. And it's so important. I mean, starting podcasts is great. Starting libertarian podcasts is great. Go out and start a podcast on, I don't know, playing pool or something, fishing, something.
Chopstick collecting.
Yeah. And just be a person who's also a libertarian talking about this other thing. And we need more of that. But Lions of Liberty, you can find us at Lions of Liberty on Twitter. Subscribe to the Lions of Liberty podcast, where you get Mark's show, our longest running program, the flagship program, that's every Monday. And Brian's show, Electric Liberty Land, every Wednesday. And my show, Find Your Freedom, every Thursday. And just, I don't know, subscribe. If you haven't checked us out yet, I don't know why you haven't, but you should. And listen to all three of our shows. Don't just listen to one. And you can go back and look
even
at our...
Even though Odie told you that was okay earlier, he was not correct.
Look at our older episodes, too. I mean, we've interviewed almost everybody in the Liberty Movement, and we do the best.
Not Ryan Dawson.
So. I've interviewed everyone except for Reed Coverdale and Clint from Liberty Lockdown, because Brian sold them for me last minute. And Ryan Dawson's coming this week, so we're almost done.
Video shit, so go fucking watch us on YouTube, too, you animals that drug us into this video world. We're on there, too. All right, this has been awesome, Reed, though. Thanks for having us, buddy.
Yeah, it's been awesome, man. Thanks. Really appreciate it.